Well, good morning, Thanksgiving. My name is Anna, and I am going to school to become a pastor, and I'm interning here at Thanksgiving Church. And I'm almost done with my pastoral studies, which is kind of exciting. I should be ready to graduate by December if everything goes accordingly. Thank you. And I just want to take this opportunity to just thank you as a congregation. Thank you for your support, your encouragement, and your prayers. I will forever be grateful, and I am just so glad that God orchestrated our paths to cross. I didn't think it would be Bellevue, Nebraska, but God has big plans for us, right? And so we're in the middle of our message series titled Unleashed. And we are learning about this unleashed life that God has destined for each one of us. And this is a life full of joy, peace, and contentment. And not only are unleashed is how we can move from living bound to fear, anxiety, division, and a limited perspective into an unleashed life. A life full of confidence that is not determined by our circumstances. It's a strong faith, even when things are not going our way. And it's seeing our lives and the world around us through God's perspective. And not only are we asking you to come and worship with us on the weekends, on Sundays and Saturdays, we are also inviting you to sign up for a journey coach, an opportunity where you can meet with one of our trained coaches and figure out what an unleashed life may look like specifically for you. So we encourage you to go to tlconnect.church. There you can get more information or sign up. And today we are going to be talking about being unleashed into a greater perspective. Perspective, it's defined as a particular attitude towards or way of regarding something. It's a point of view. And so does anyone remember that big social media debate in 2015 about the dresses? Okay. So if you're not familiar with it was this huge debate online where you could see the dress at, some people saw the dress as black and blue, while others saw it as gold and white. And within 1 week, there was 10 million people who like tweeted about it, saying what color they thought the dress was. And this photo, it revealed to us how people perceive colors differently. And if we think about perspective in general, many things can affect the way we perceive something. It might be your experiences, your beliefs, the way you were brought up. It can even go to the physical state you're in when you're looking at the thing that you're perceiving. And our perspective can sometimes be tainted because of our experiences, or it can be leashed to things of this world. If we're honest, sometimes our perspectives are limited. And so in today's passage, a man named Paul is warning us that it's necessary to be aware of our limited perspectives and to continually seek God's guidance to gain a healthy perspective. God desires us to grow into seeing things from his perspective. And so through some self-discovery this past year, God revealed to me that my perspective has been limited and chained to things of this world and things that God wants to protect me from so that I can experience this new type of freedom. And so just last month, I turned 26. And just like a little side note, in the year of 25, I was called old 3 times. And it wasn't like just like a, oh, you're getting wiser. Like, I could go for that. It was like a, you're old. And so I'm a little bit hesitant to see what the year 26 is going to bring. I'm curious to know if I have like kind of reached that age level where now I'm going to be called ancient. But then again, isn't that just perspective? But back to the point. I've been told the 20s are supposed to be some of the greatest times of your life because you're figuring out who you are, right? You can decide who you want to be as a career. You can decide where you want to live. You're looking for your life partner, and you're just truly figuring out what makes you happy. But in today's world, with social media, I believe that figuring out who you truly are is even harder, because it's easy for your perspective to get chained to a message of this world that leads to a dead end. We are constantly reminded of what others have and can so easily realize what we're missing out on, which some call FOMO, or fear of missing out. So I want to take a moment to take you into some internal dialogue I have sometimes when I'm scrolling first through social media. So I'm friends with people who I went to junior high with in high school and stuff, and so I see them post photos of, like, they're getting married, they're buying a house, they're traveling to exotic places in the world, or they're getting a great job. And then I can go to this new app, it's called TikTok. Has anyone heard of TikTok? Okay, oh, we've got a big hand up there. Love it. But if you're not sure what TikTok is, it's like these little videos full of content, but it's like some of it's just so funny. You can sit there and just scroll for like hours if you have time. And so you can go there and you watch these people called influencers. And influencers just have like a lot of followers, and then they have like this little blue check mark by your name. And everybody wants to have that blue check mark by their name. And so as I'm happy for these people's successes, if I'm completely honest, sometimes my mind starts racing, and it starts racing to a dark place. Because I start thinking, I start perceiving that I'm behind the eight ball. I'm 26 now. I'm old, right? And so I should be married like yesterday. Today I should have two cute twins. And tomorrow I've already traveled the world. And that's where my mind starts racing. My perception easily becomes chained to things of this world. And I start feeling unworthy, discouraged, and I feel like I'm missing out. And I start asking God, does he even care about me anymore? Why does he bless these people with things and not me? I even start to envy those who seem to have their life together. And we spoke about this a couple weeks ago when we talked about being unleashed from comparison. And I encourage you to go and back and listen to that message if you have a chance. And maybe you can't relate to my specific example, but do you think at times in your life, your perspective is limited? Maybe you have a perspective of fear, a perspective of unworthiness, or a perception of darkness. Our perspectives may be so limited, which causes us to be so far away from the joy, the peace, and confidence that our Lord promises us. And so as I was talking to my coworker and I was telling him how I was on the social media cleanse because it left me feeling so empty. And then he shared a perception of my life. And this is what he said, and I quote, says the pretty girl with a good fam, job, life, and pup. When he said that, I had a heart check. He perceived that was what my life was like. And I began to realize that my perception, it was just that, my perception, a limited one that was leashed to things of this world. It's always dangerous, it's always a dangerous sign when my perspective is based on, well, my experiences, my biases, and my limited knowledge. And so when I thought about what my coworker said, I realized that's completely true. I have a beautiful family. I have friends that when I hang out with them, I'm full of joy. And I do have the best dog in the world. And that is not perception. And so just like my coworker helped to change my perspective, God, he wants to unleash us into a perspective that is full of joy, peace, and contentment, but is also rooted in the truth. So how can we start living this out? How can we live into God's greater perspective? As we look at Ephesians today in chapter 6, Paul shows us how we can be unleashed into a greater perspective that God has intended for all of us. And we can do this by putting on the full armor of God, protecting ourselves from the devil's scheme. So to share some context behind the passage for today, Paul is writing this letter to the church of Ephesus. And he's writing this letter about being free, about freedom in Christ. And then we realize that Paul is actually chained in jail as he's writing this letter. So I thought that was kind of interesting to point out. And Paul, one of the reasons that Paul is writing this letter, it's a letter of encouragement to the church of Ephesus to withstand the power of the devil, death, and sin. And what is so great is that this letter is just as applicable for us today. So let's dig in. I encourage you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, or you're more than welcome to follow along with us on the sideboards. Paul starts, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Let's stop here for a moment. Paul, he starts this passage pointing to God. He is asking us to stand firm in God's strength, God's power, and put on his armor. He also asks us to stand firm and hold our ground against the devil. To stand firm means to stand up and resist against something. In this case, we are resisting against the devil and the temptations that he may place in front of each one of us. To stand firm, it also means to refuse to abandon your beliefs and your opinions. And Paul is asking us to stand firm in God's beliefs and in the truth of the Bible. And Paul shares that we can live into this greater perspective by putting on God's armor. And so I saw this meme, and I just had to share because I thought it was so funny about God's armor. And it says, "Sisters, when you get on the scale, remind yourself that you're wearing the full armor of God. That stuff is heavy." And I'm just going to make an assumption. I think that goes for brothers as well, but I'm not sure. But as we pick it back up today in verse 12, Paul writes, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and the authorities of unseen worlds, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." And when I first read this, I was confused. What is Paul talking about? A dark world, evil spirits, in a spiritual battle? I kind of assumed that maybe Paul was kind of losing it in his head because he had been in prison so long. But that's not the truth. Because no, Paul, he was educated, he was experienced, and he only had an agenda for Christ. And he believes in the warfare that takes place in the spiritual realm. The same type of warfare that takes place today. And another great reminder is that Paul reminds us that this isn't a battle against flesh and blood. This isn't a battle of people versus people, political party versus political party, those who choose to wear a mask and get vaccinated, and those who don't. This is a bigger battle. This is a spiritual battle. It's a warfare against Satan, sin, and death. Paul reminds us not to demonize other people, but he encourages us to bring the fight to where it belongs. Paul continues, "Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrow of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Paul here, he reminds us that we must put on all of God's armor. We can't just choose the piece that looks cute on us that day or that we feel like we need. He's asking us to put it all on. If we think about a Roman soldier who's preparing for battle, if he just decided to leave his helmet behind that day because it was going to be hot, or he just left his sword because he forgot, we can come to the conclusion that the battle probably would not go in his favor. Because without all pieces of the armor, there are weak spots and there are gaps. We're not fully prepared. So Paul is encouraging us to put on all pieces of the armor so that we are fully protected. And even though Paul warns us not to pick and choose the pieces of the armor, for today I'm only going to highlight a couple. And out of all things of the Roman soldier armor, Paul, he first highlights the belt of truth. So it must be important. And when we think about a normal function of a belt, it's usually to hold your pants up and keep your shirt tucked in. When we think about for a Roman soldier, the belt, it was used to hold a soldier's weapons and secure his armor. If we think about truth, that has the same function in our own lives. The truth keeps us level-headed, grounded, and holds us together. And now I want to point out, this is not the truth of the world or our truth. This is God's truth. We live in a world that is so dynamic. It changes back and forth every day. It's hard to know what the truth is. Let's take, for example, when the pandemic just started. First, we were told we had to wear masks. Then we were told we didn't need to wear masks. And then we were told we needed to wear masks again. And then we were told we needed to wear two masks. So we were kind of like, what is the truth? What is right? We don't know. But we do know God's word is the source of the truth and that it never changes. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. But let's take this one step further. It's hard to find this unchanging truth without community. And here's what I mean by that. If I, myself, Anna, read the Bible, what I think is going to be the truth, it's going to be skewed. It's going to be skewed by my own beliefs, experience, and my perspectives. Because to find the truth, we need a community made up of many perspectives. As a community, we can study the word and share our own perspectives with each other to find the truth. We are encouraged to have God's truth as tightly secured around us as some of us may have our belts today. The belt of truth is the good news which gives us peace. And Paul, he asks us to put on the shoes of peace that come from the good news. And I'm not a fashion guru at all, but I've been told that shoes have the power to make or break an outfit. And I have been told gracefully by my friends that I have to step up my shoe game. So I do have some like really cool Hey Dudes on today, which I heard were super hip. And also, Pastor David is rocking Hey Dudes too. So we are like moving up in the shoe world, right? Let's get it. And so we have to highlight the shoes. So what's the good news? The good news is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, defeating death so that we can have eternal life. And the knowledge of this good news and what Christ has done for each one of us on the cross, it gives us a sense of peace in knowing that no matter what we do here on this earth, it cannot affect our salvation because the battle has already been won. Just like shoes protect our feet, there is peace in knowing that we are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, put on the shoes of peace so that you will be fully prepared. When I read this, I was kind of like, what are we preparing for? I was a little bit confused. But as Christians, we are all called to share the good news with others. Jesus, he told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. God, he didn't just elect like a couple of people stating their name. He didn't say, oh, just ordained pastors, you can go share the good news. No, he commanded that we all go share the good news of the gospel. And I wonder if God knew about our limitations, about our limited perspectives. And that is why he called all to share the gospel. This is what I mean by that. If God just elected me, Anna, to go share the gospel with the entire world, I probably would not get very far. Why? Because I'm limited. I'm limited in my knowledge. I'm limited in my perspective. I have biases. To share the gospel, it takes a community so that we can see through God's eyes. We need a community of Christ's followers wearing the shoes of peace. And just like a good pair of shoes equip us to walk in rough terrain, having peace in what Christ did for us allows us to boldly proclaim in God's name. In verse 17, Paul, he highlights the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Do you recall the story in the gospel where Jesus is tempted in the wilderness for 40 days by the devil? Jesus defended himself with the word of God. The devil tempted Jesus, asking him to turn stones into bread. And Jesus responded, "No, the scriptures say people do not live on bread alone." The devil asked Jesus to worship him. And Jesus responded, "The scripture says you must not worship the Lord your God, and the scripture says you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And then the devil led Jesus up to the highest temple, and he told him to jump promising him that God's angels would save him. But Jesus responded, "The scripture also says, 'You must not test the Lord your God.'" Scripture reading, daily devotional, Bible studies are a perfect example of how we are called to use God's word to defend ourselves. Paul encourages us to study God's word so the next time we are tempted, we will be ready with God's word. And Paul, he ends the passage today with asking us to pray at all times and on every occasion. In prayer, it's a conversation with God. Paul is encouraging us to talk to God while also listening to him. And Paul, he says, don't just speak to God when you need him and don't just speak periodically. He is asking, he is telling everyone, for every occasion. Because there is nothing too big for God's power and there is nothing too small for God's heart. And Paul's encouragement of prayer has really spoke to me this last week. So let me share a quick example with you. Just last week, I went to visit my grandma in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I recall my coworker saying that one of her love languages was gifts. So I was like, well, I can get you some souvenirs. And for some reason, I've always just been kind of weird at giving gifts. It's kind of awkward for me. I don't know why. And so I had the gifts, got a little bag, put the gifts in there, and I was driving to work. And my mind started racing. I was kind of like, oh, this is going to be so awkward. How do I give her this gift? Like, I don't want to make a big deal about it and make it a big, grandioso theme. But I also don't want to make a joke of it or just kind of dismiss it so she thinks I don't care. And so my mind's racing. And at one point, I was like, maybe I just won't give her the gift at all. I can just eat it myself. But then I remembered God. God wants to hear everything. So I just gave it to God, just praying, Lord, please help me give this gift. And it actually turned out really well. She received the gift really well, and she did share the snacks as well. So, right? Turned out both ways. But with my limited perspective, the old me, I would have thought, Anna, God doesn't care about you giving a gift. That's so small, that's not going to be on his radar. But with my new unleashed perspective, I know that God, he wants to hear about every small detail of our lives. So here are some takeaways from Paul's epistle today. Some things he asks us to consider. Paul asks us on our journey to an unleashed perspective to consider who our enemies are. If we're battling against someone, it's important to know who your enemy is. You study them. You learn their strengths. You learn their weaknesses. You want to learn everything about them. So let's take, for example, Husker football. So I graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I can assume that when the Huskers play the Wisconsin Badgers, probably they do not study the football team before they play, just by the way that the Badgers always crush the Huskers. But, hang with me, I don't want to lose you yet, but I do give credit where credit is due. I do think that the Huskers did study Oklahoma before the game yesterday because they only lost by 7 points. Right? They studied their players, they studied the strategies so they could protect and be ready for the battle. The weapons and strategies we decide to use in the battle depends on who the enemy is. A small pistol is going to be useless in a battle that calls for artillery. We want to be prepared for the battle by knowing who the enemy is. In verse 12, Paul states, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of unseen worlds, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly realm." We are at war with Satan, sin, and death. And knowing this, we know that we can't just go to Planet Fitness and go start lifting some weights. And we can't bring our biggest bat because this is a spiritual battle. We know the devil will try to tempt us and deceive us. But we have something that can defeat the devil. And that's the armor of God in his strength, his power, and with God's word. To have an unleashed perspective, Paul asks us to consider who our enemies are and prepare for them. We can prepare for our enemies by considering our resources. Our resources. Once we become followers of Christ, we have access to God's armor. And as a followers of Christ, we are given the belt of truth, the body armor of righteousness, the shoes of peace, a shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the gift of communicating directly to God through prayer. God has given us an arsenal to protect ourselves and to fight this spiritual battle. When we consider our resources, the least perspective that may be tied to fear, darkness, and sin, it goes away because we know that God is on our side and we have access to his mighty power in his armor. So many of us are taking a knife to a gunfight. We fear as if it all depends on us, and we believe that we are in control of what the outcome may be. We may believe that God is taking a nap, and he has forgotten about this world. But this passage, it reminds us and it encourages us of God's greatness, his power, and his armor. The belt of truth, the body armor of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the power of prayer. And the last thing Paul asks us to consider on our journey today into an unleashed perspective is to consider whose battle it is. Verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty powers. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." To know whose battle it is leads to the ultimate unleashed perspective. Paul never says, put on your own armor, muster up your own strength, and go defeat sin on your own. If you don't do this, you won't be saved. No, Paul, he tells us to be strong in God. Use his power, put on his armor, and use his word. This is God's battle with the devil. This is not our own. So what does this mean for us? When God is fighting the battle for us, Paul, he asks us to show up in confidence and stand in position, knowing that God is ultimately fighting the battle for us. Actually knowing that God has already won the battle through what he did on the cross for each one of us. Jesus declared his victory on the cross when he said, "It is finished." And so I want to invite the worship team up now as we discuss how we can practically live out, how we can live this out into God's greater perspective. We encourage you to sign up for a journey coach. This will give you the opportunity to realize what an unleashed life may look like just for you. And we would love to walk through that journey with you. We also have a great opportunity this week through the City Serve. As we learned today, it takes a community full of different perspectives to live into God's greater perspective. Volunteering is a great way you can help the community while also gaining a new perspective. And one thing I'm really excited about is here at Thanksgiving, we feel that God is doing something big with the young adult group here. And we are going to be starting a young adult group that meets every Thursday. And if you're in your 20s and you're interested in just doing life together, please don't hesitate to reach out and contact me. I would love for you to be a part of our group. Because here at Thanksgiving, we believe it's okay to belong before you believe. And we would love for everyone, no matter what your perspective is, to be a part of a life group here at Thanksgiving. And lastly, we are reminded to remember who you are. We're each uniquely created with a different perspective that is valuable. And we're reminded whose we are. We are precious sons and daughters of the Most High King. We are to remember that the battle has been won for us already, and there is nothing here on this earth that is going to affect our salvation. He just asks us to show up in confidence, in his armor, with his power, using his words, giving it our best, because God will take care of the rest, because the battle belongs to him. Amen.